God's people said, amen, amen. Good morning and thank you for being here on this beautiful fall day, amen. Isn't it a beautiful day? Get everything sized up here. Take your Bibles. We turn into Matthew chapter 5 if we continue our study and restoring my joy. We all need a little joy restoring every now and then. And through this series we're doing on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is telling us how to do that. We've gone through about three or four different ones, and today we're talking about repairing relationships. Relationships gets a lot of ink in the Bible. You hear me say it often that the most important thing that we have is our relationships, our relationship to God and our relationship to each other. And we really don't understand that until something happens in our lives. I have a good feeling as we get down into Wilmington, North Carolina, we're going to talk to a lot of folks that just says one thing. Well, I'm glad that our lives were spared. Amen. I see a lot of devastation and things like that. We're going to go see it in color and see what went on there. But I can tell you, most folks that went through stuff like that, what they realize is the most important thing is their relationship with God and relationship with each other especially. And so hopefully we don't have to go through a storm to realize that. So when we talk about repairing relationships, it's a part of our joy. When something is out of kilter with the relationship with the people that we care about the most, then that's the problem. A lot of times it takes our joy away. It sweeps us off. And we have to realize when we're not in a proper relationship with other people around us, then we're not in a proper relationship with God. A lot of people don't understand that. They wonder what the problem is. Well, the problem a lot of times is it's not that just directly towards God. It's directly towards somebody else that's affecting your relationship with God or your fellowship with God. So today it's a two-way street, and that's what we're going to see. As you're seeing here in the opening, it says, who do I need to forgive? And then also, who do I need to ask forgiveness from? So it's a two-way street here, and that's what he's talking about here as we look through here. So look at in Matthew 5 and verse 7, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And then also in verse 9, it says, blessed are the peacemaker, for they will be called sons of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, dear God, as we go down through this upside-down altering of what we believe in the world as Jesus is teaching us here. And so, God, where we're a people that are somewhat prideful and sometimes greedy and hold on to things, God, you're telling us to be a people of mercy and people of peace. God, we want to be that way. There is something in us, that flesh nature, that pulls us away from those things. It wants us to be angry and upset and selfish. And God, it's a battle that goes on in our lives. And God, help us understand that. We see it in our own lives, but God, we need to know how to defeat those things and get those things out of our lives that we might be more like you, Lord. God, if we look into this text today, dear God, you make us some promises. You tell us if we act this way and treat people this way that we'll be shown that. Maybe not necessarily by other people, but by you, Lord. And that's what our main relationship is. And so, God, teach us something here today that we might be more merciful and we might be truly peacemakers in the world that we have around us, Lord. We love and we praise you. And the praise in the name of Jesus that we pray. And amen. So what we have to understand is we're not living in a world today that really wants to show a lot of mercy. We've seen that played out on the TVs this last week over this new judge Supreme Court thing and all the things that's going on there. It's very sad when we see the political folks that's supposed to be over us act in the way that they act and react to things like that. It doesn't teach us anything. It doesn't teach our children anything. And it's a sad, it's something that we're seeing progressing over and over again. We're seeing it's getting worse and worse and worse in how we say and do things. And what happens is when we see it played out in TV in front of us and we call these folks our leaders, a lot of times what it does, it makes us feel like we have the right to do the same thing. Well, that's not true. And so what we have to do, we have to go back to the basics. We have to go back to what's really truth and what truth is in Scripture. And although our world is changing, Scripture's not changed. Amen? And so that's the solid rock. That's what we have to lean to. That's what keeps us steady in our lives and keeps us doing the right thing. And so we have two things here. It says in your opening there, who do I need to forgive? Those are some things. People have been hurt, and you have to understand it. All of us have people that have done things to us. And then also, who do I need to ask forgiveness from? There's not only people that hurt us, we also hurt other people in our lives also. As you go through the Bible, you see that the Bible talks a lot about relationships. I preach a lot on relationships because relationships are important to us. And all of us have things going on in our lives that that kind of can easily tweak those things out of fellowship with other people, and it tweaks it out of fellowship with God. So relationships are a two-way street. They're forgiving and they're forgiveness. There's always got to be a part of that. People say, well, how do you stay married for 30-something years? You've got to forgive and you've got to be forgiven. That's the only way you'll ever stay in a relationship, not only in a husband and a wife relationship, but also in friendships. What you'll learn is the people that are closest to you are the ones that you have to forgive and the ones that have to get your forgiveness most of the time, because that's the folks that you deal with, okay? It's not the old boy that lives down the street that you don't never see. You just wave at him when you go by. You don't have to do a whole lot with him, okay? It's the folks you're living in the house with, or it's the folks you're sleeping in the bed with, okay? That's the ones you have the problem. They're the trouble, isn't it? I mean, that's where our problems are, okay? But what we have to understand is mercy, kind of give you a little definition. Mercy is being forgiving towards others that have hurt us. And so it's giving mercy. And if mercy is not giving someone what they deserve. See, everything in us, when somebody hurts us, what we want to do, we want to get back. And we don't want to hurt them in the way that they hurt us. We want to hurt them more. We want them to squirm, man. We want them to burn, okay? We want to put them down. And that's when we say and do and act in the ways that we do. Then also it says in peace. Peace is when we ask forgiveness from someone that's hurt us. And so we're seeking peace. We know that we've done something wrong. And we go to a person and we say, listen, I know that I've hurt you. And I want you. I'm asking your forgiveness, and I you can't make that person forgive you, but you're doing your part. All you're doing is asking. You know, I told you a story a long time ago about how I said something about one of my supervisors at work when I worked at World Color. He was a knucklehead. That's just all it was to it. Okay, he was that. Okay, and he knows it too. But anyway, I'd said some things in the break room about him, and the Lord just really convicted me of that, and I had to end up going back and ask him to forgive me. And he wasn't a Christian, and he just sat there. I mean, you know, I said, I just need to tell you that I've said some things about you. And, you know, and first of all, he just started smiling, and because he probably had the first time he'd ever seen a confession. He probably thought he was a priest or something. So he said, well, what did you say? And I said, well, I can't really remember. I didn't want to go into a lot of details, but most of them were true anyway, but I wasn't going to say that. But anyway, I just said, well, I just need to ask you to forgive me. And I did it, you know, I'm sitting here at World Color, you know, and I'm doing it with tears coming out of my eyes. Isn't it hard to ask for forgiveness? Amen, you know? And then he just said, well, man, whatever, no big deal or nothing like that. But it was a big deal to me because God was convicting me about that. It wasn't a big deal to him because a lot of people talked about him, okay? He had about 150 people work for him. So he was used to it, but he wasn't used to somebody coming. But I tell you what happened. Even though he wasn't a Christian, from that point on, he treated me different. From that point on, I ended up working for him about 4 more years before I ended up leaving World Color. And from that point on, he treated me different. He saw in me something that I guess I was walking like I was talking. Amen? And when people realized that, you know, it wasn't that, he didn't know anything about this. When he saw that, I said, you know, God had convicted me. He didn't do anything to me. God had convicted me, and he saw me come through that. And so he treated me different. It wasn't, you know, he didn't, you know, give me any special treatment or any special favors or anything, but I could just tell that he didn't cuss around me as much. He wasn't demanding as he was before. And so people, they need to see authenticity in our lives. And that's where it comes out. And how we do that a lot of times is it's being forgiving towards people and saying, yeah, man, you messed up. You know, you hurt me. Or I know I've hurt someone, and I need to get past this in my life. So both are hard when we try to play it off of the flesh. I mean, the flesh, just everything in me that day screamed no. And I went up there, and I had tears in my eyes because it was so hard to do. But when I got through with that and I walked out of the office, it was such a refreshing feeling. I had such a peace about me, and I felt like that I had been with the Lord that day because he had convinced me to go do something. It was very difficult to do, you know. And that's not something we do in and of ourselves. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so God breaks us sometimes to get us to the point that what we seek out restoration with someone. We seek out restoration more than we care about what people think about us. See, what will stop you most of the time of asking forgiveness or being forgiven is your pride. And the Bible says pride comes before what? A fall. Pride makes us fall, and especially makes us fall in our relationship because it keeps us from saying the things that we know that we need to say it and doing the things we know that we need to do. I had a family friend of mine that had a child with Down syndrome. And if you've ever been around children with Down syndrome, I'm sure not all kids are like this, but this child was a very loving child. A very innocent child. And every time anybody walked in, the first thing he wanted to do is he wanted to hug them, you know. And he liked everybody, you know. And I'm thinking, God, I wish I could be like that.
where it's sad that someone that has some kind of a situation like that can be loving towards people. But I would watch this little young man, and even as he grew older, he was the same way. Now he's an adult, and even now, if you see him, he'll come. He wants to hug you, you know. And I'm thinking, man, I wish I had that in me. I mean, because I'm prideful, and I'm more concerned about what people think than glorifying the Lord and letting people and being authentic with people. And I think that's what holds us back in this situation. So we know the problem. Most of us have it. We have a pride problem. So how do we live a life of restoration? Well, so the first part of it is you hurt me. And we're going to deal with the mercy part of it first. Why should I show mercy? Well, the first thing is God shows mercy to me. We go through this every time we talk about relationship. Why should we forgive other people? Because God's forgiven me. So to be a person of joy, you've got to let go of some things in life. If you have a bitter spirit about you, if you have a hardness about you, you need to realize you're holding on to some things. There's some conflict going on in you. And a lot of times it's in relationships. In Ephesians 4 and verse 31 and 32, it says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slandering along with every form of malice. Then he goes in verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. So it's letting go to do what? To show our godliness. When I let things go, when I get past that bitterness, when I'm willing to forgive and I'm willing to ask forgiveness, what it does, it shows a sense of godliness about me. And that's what sanctification is all about. The more I grow closer to Christ, the more I should look like Christ. And you'll never look like Christ being unforgiving. You'll never look like Christ being the person who always holds a grudge. And so the true way to find joy and restore our joy is that we've got to let go some things. We've got to forgive some folks. And we've got to let those things go. The next thing is holding a grudge hurts me. We have to realize it hurts us. It makes us a bitterness. It holds me hostage. And it's kind of like a cancer that grows. And what happens if it starts out in one relationship, next thing you know, it's over into another relationship. And all of a sudden it becomes the way you act. I was reading something not long ago about selfishness and pride and how they destroy relationships. And it's like a lot of people think, well, if I could just get away from the people that are making me feel that way and I could just move and get away from them, then everything will be all right. Well, the article pointed out is the problem is when you move, you go with you. Amen? And you carry that same personality. You bring that same attitude with you. And so if you're doing it over here, you're probably going to go and you can do it over here too, because that's the way that you treat people and react and act to people, okay? So you go with you and you're the problem. And we have to ask ourselves, am I the problem in these situations? And always we play maybe a part of the problem anyway. We might not be the main emphasis of it, but we play a part. And so it's helpful. It's unhelpful to me and it's unhealthy for us, and I feel bitter and I feel unhappy when I hold a grudge against someone. And what does it do? It drains you. It drains you emotionally, it drains you spiritually, it drains you physically. There's a lot of people that are physically sick just because they're holding on something in their life they can't let go, and it's causing it's reaping havoc in their lives. The next thing is I'll need mercy. The next reason to forgive people is that, and I'm going to need mercy too. You don't want to burn the bridge that you're going to have to walk across. All of us, we've done what? We've hurt all people also, and we'll see a little bit more about that later. But in Matthew 6, in verse 12, it says, forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And so we're forgiving because we owe people people owe us forgiveness, and we owe people forgiveness. And we have to understand it's a two-way street. And I hurt people, and I want them to do what? I want them to forgive me. So why wouldn't I want to forgive other people? You know, when Mona and I have a conflict and an argument or something, you know, I mean, it's hard for us to ask for forgiveness. It's hard for us to go shake hands and hug necks and kiss and make up and all that kind of stuff. But we know that we want to have a solid relationship. You know, Mona and I have been married now for 30-something years, two or three or something like that. And so, you know how that is. After you get past a certain age, it's like, well, we just had another one, okay? It's like a birthday, you know. But one of the things that I've told her, when we were in a real deep, argument. She's not here today, so I can talk about it. But it's all her fault anyway. But we was in a real hard argument. And we got in the car, and one of the things we do, we're turtles. We clam up. We don't say anything. We don't fuss and argue. You'll not hear any hollering around our house or anything like that. We don't throw anything at each other or anything like that. We punish you by ignoring you, okay? And so anyway, we ignored each other for three or four days. And so anyway, I wave the white flag, and I usually do. You know, I'm one of these. I usually get make up. You know, so no, I'm just kidding. But I said, well, let's go out to eat. So we'll go out and eat. And anyway, I told her, I said, I don't, I mean, we're committed to stay with each other the rest of our lives, right? You know, yeah, okay. I said, well, let's don't live the rest of our life like this. I said, let's learn to get over things and go on. I mean, you're going to disappoint me. I'm going to disappoint you. I'm a professional at it. And I said, let's just give this. I mean, life is too short to live like that. Amen? Life's too short to miss like that, you know. And I got a good idea. If I traded Mona off for another model, we'd probably have the same problem because a lot of the problem is me. I mean, I understand that, okay? Now, to do something about that, what we're going to talk about later, but a lot of the problem is me, and I realize that because I have my selfishness and I have my things also. And so we have to understand it. So I'm going to need mercy, and so I don't want to burn the bridge. I'm going to have to walk around. And I hurt people when they, and I want to be, when I hurt people, I want them to forgive me, and so I need to be willing to do the same thing. Now, how do I show mercy? Well, here's the part that we need to get to. We all understand that we hold grudges, we have all those things. That's the problem, okay? And let's get a little bit more into the solution of it. How do I show mercy? Well, the first thing is I admit that it hurts. See, a lot of people, what they do, they don't admit it. They ignore it. They just act like, well, your pride builds up in you. You say, well, nobody hurt me. I mean, I'm like, man, I'm tough. I mean, you know, yeah, they said that, but they don't bother me, you know. Let me tell you what, you know, sticks and stones can break your bones, but word will never hurt me. It's a lie. Because words can do far more damage than sticks and stones can. Amen? Because see, what the words are, they get inside. Where sticks and stones are on the outside, the words get inside. And just something you can say in just a passing situation, a conversation, can really do damage to somebody. It makes them, belittles them, and makes them, you know, it's one of those things that, one of the things, I'm a big talker, and when words are many, sin is not absent. That's one of the things I pray about every day. But something I have done is I love Mona so much that I do guard my words when we get angry. That's why one of the reasons I walk away is because I'm afraid of what I will say, because what I feel inside comes out of your mouth if you don't look out. And then all of a sudden somebody looks at it and says, well, now I know how you really feel. You know, you ever said anything? And you say, well, then you go back after you start trying to make up, you know, well, I didn't really mean that. Well, you meant it when you said it, amen, you know. And you might have meant it long, more than you said it. You just happened to say it at that time. So you need to guard your words and be very careful of that. And admit that people hurt me. When I hurt it. It's hard for me. I mean, I'm trying to act tough and things. And when Mona says something or does something that hurts me, I act like, that doesn't bother me. You know, but it does hurt. And so you have to do what? You have to admit it. And then you have to say it. That hurt me. But when you're going back in your conversation with someone, it's nothing wrong saying, hey, that you hurt me when you said that, when you did that. That hurt me. And so you can't do what? You can't get over something. You can't get over a hurt until you admit that it really has pain in it. And pride says, that didn't bother me, but it does bother us. And if you hang on to that and you never let go, then you'll never get past it, see? And that's where a lot of people, that's where your joy is at. You've let it rob your joy, and it's just been one little thing at another, and it's just kind of, you swept it under the rug and swept it under the rug and swept it under, and now you're at a point in your life that your joy is gone, and you really don't realize why. Because it was a lot of little things that you didn't take care of as you went along in life, see? And that's when it's kind of built up, and now you've lost your joy in life. And a lot of people are there. The next thing is choose to forgive. It's a choice that we make. We have to choose to forgive people. I make a choice to forgive my family or friends or whoever it is. I have to make a choice. I do it for my sake, but also for theirs also. And so always remember, the people that I'm closest to is the ones that I have to forgive the most, because those are the ones that are capable of hurting me the most. If I meet you, we only see each other once a week, and you say something out of line or something like that, I mean, I can go on, and it doesn't really bother me that bad, okay? But if my wife is doing that, or my kids are doing that, or somebody I see every day is doing that, then it hurts more, okay? Because we have that close relationship. In Matthew 18, 21 through 22, it says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he has sinned against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. What's he saying? As much as it takes. If you live with someone, let me tell you what, it's not a one-shot deal. You know, it ain't a blanket coverage. It's a day-to-day thing. It's one of those things that I say things or do things or act in a way, you know. I'm one of these type people. I'm out in front all the time. If you get around me, you'll see I'm always ready. I'm on time. I'm mad if I don't turn the lights on, turn them off. I mean, that's just my personality. I'm you know, this trip here, after we decided we were going on this trip, that's what's been on my mind. You know, you get it. You're in my way if you're doing anything, okay? But Mona's not that way. She's easy going. She's going to live forever. I'll probably stroke out, okay? But she's just, it's all right. I mean, you got plenty of time. You got plenty of time. Like, man, what's the deal, you know? And so it's just kind of, we're two different type people. So I rub her the wrong way and that. She rubs me in the wrong way. And we know that. So what we do is we just separate. You know, she does her. I pack my stuff, and I got it ready a week early, and she packs her stuff, and she's home doing it right now, okay? And so that's just kind of, you know, so that's what kind of how. And so I just have to just get away from it, you know? But we understand that about it. After 30 years, you understand that. So I'm not trying to change her. Well,
I am trying to change her son to be like me, but and she's well, she tries to change me to be like her too. Her thing is don't sweat it. You know, her motto is stop and smell the roses. Okay, I want to pick them and go on. Okay, and so that's kind of how we live. But that's you have to understand that about each other, and you love each other in spite of each other sometimes. And so if you don't, and that's in every relationship. That's not just in husbands and wife. It's easy to do husbands and wife because, well, again, we're so close to each other. But it's in every relationship. You'll not if you look around and you don't have any friends, then probably the problem is you're trying to make everybody change to be like you are. And everybody's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's frustrating, but you've got to just kind of, you know, got to kind of let go of the little stuff and go on and enjoy their company anyway. And so how do I know when I've truly forgiven someone? That's something else. I make the choice to forgive someone. How do I really know that? Well, here's the key to that. It's when I can see that person or when someone begins to talk about that person and it doesn't bother me anymore. I don't have that angry feeling. I don't have that hurt feeling anymore. And when I say that I care about that person and I pray for that person, it's really true. And so how do we do that? How do we get to that point? Well, here's something we talk about in counseling a lot. And here's some counseling 101 for you. When I have people come, especially in relationships like that, people will say, well, how do I go about that? Well, listen, there's not a cookie cutter for everything. Now, if you can and it's a good situation, you want to do it face-to-face. You want to do it face-to-face, and we'll look at that in just a little bit. But also, what you have to understand is that's not always able to do that, and it's not always healthy to do that, okay? I mean, if you hurt somebody years ago and you got divorced and now they're remarried and everything, I wouldn't suggest you calling, you know, them up and saying, hey, do you want to meet for coffee? I need to talk to you about something. That's probably just not a good idea, okay? And it's probably not going to work out well for you, especially if you're remarried again, okay? But the other thing is counseling. You go to counseling. You talk to a counselor. You get it off their chest. And in that way, you're telling someone that you know it's not going to get back to somebody else. And that's what counselors do. The other thing, a couple of things that I suggest that I've read in my books before is the empty chair. Some of you have heard of that before. If you've been to counseling, that's one thing. Especially if someone's died or, you know, your parents have died and you have these regrets that you've said some things and done some things that had hurt them and now they're gone. Is an empty chair, is set an empty chair in front of you and just talk to it and kind of get it off your chest. And the other thing is what we call a ghost letter. You write out a letter and you express yourself because a lot of times your expressions can go through your fingers, come through your mind and into your fingers and you write it out. But you never mail it. You don't never mail the letter. And be careful who you let see the letter. And so those are some things that we can. But in your part, if it's able to do it face-to-face, that's what we need to do. We need to sit down and talk it out, okay? We need to sit down and talk it out. And so the key to forgiveness is not playing God. Realize that God knows what's going on, and he's in control of the situation, regardless of what they've done to you, regardless of what they've said to you before, he's in control. And again, we started out this series that our biggest problem is we're thinking we're playing God. So I want them to hurt. I want to hurt them more than they hurt me, okay? So relax and let God settle the score. Here's a verse for you. If you're able to do this, this is a verse for you in Romans 14, verses 10 through 12. Here you go. Then they who, why do you judge your brother, or why do you look down on your brother? For we all stand before God's judgment seat. Then he goes on, it says in verse 11, it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue confess to God. And here we go, here's verse 12. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. So they're going to have to give an account to God of what they've done, okay? And so it's not you're trying to settle the score, you let God settle the score. And when you're holding a grudge, when you're being unforgiving, it's hurting you more than it's hurting them most of the time. We have to understand that. And so we have to let go. So this next thing is this, is how do I ask for mercy? Now, this is giving mercy. How do we give mercy? So how do I ask for it? Because sometimes I need mercy. It's not I don't want someone to give me what I deserve, and so how do I do it? Well, and this is part is I've hurt you, that I've hurt you, and I've said something to it. And I've done that before. I've hurt my family. I've hurt my friends. I've hurt church members before. I mean, I didn't, you know, I'm one of these kind of people that, like I said, I like to joke around and kid. And I didn't really realize that people took pastors as serious as they did. I mean, I never was a pastor up until 30 years ago or 20-something years ago. So I was when I became a pastor and started preaching, I was same old Nathan. Hey, man. I would cut a joke or something and, you know, do something, be a little critical, say something, you know, where'd you buy that at? You know, Kmart or something like that, you know. And I didn't know women were that touchy, you know. So, I mean, so anyway, or who cut your hair this week or something like that. You know, I just, so anyway, so I started saying, well, anyway, I got bit a
couple of times. I had some people get mad at me about some things that I said and some things that I'd done. And it's like, whoa, I mean, you know, I need to, you know, the Holy Spirit, you can't keep your mouth shut, you know. Because people do, they see you in a leadership position, and so they do think that you ought to be more professional, I guess you would say, or, you know. And so I thought, well, so I tried to tone it down. So you'll see me when I get in a real good mood, I kind of let myself go again. I'll kind of get back in, I'll kind of say too much and do too much, you know. So I got to reel myself back in again. Whoa, wait a minute, boy, you're going to get in trouble again, okay? And so I'll never forget that one of the biggest episodes I ever had. And I might have told you this before. It was a friend of mine. I mean, I'd known this boy for years, and his name was Joe. And we was walking out of the church door. No, he's walking in the church door one day. Make it worse than anything. Hadn't even preached yet. And anyway, he walks in, and I shook his hand. I said, well, there's old Joe Blow. And he pulled me up there, and he got me. Man, he pulled me. He said, don't you ever call me that again. Well, I thought he was kidding with me. I knew him in high school, you know. And he said, don't you ever. I said, what's wrong? And he says, man, don't you ever call me that again. I said, okay. I thought, man, I won't ever call you nothing again, okay? But anyway, I had my come to Jesus moment, and I got past it. But, I mean, and so it was just real. I mean, I didn't know what I had done. I mean, I was just, hey, how you doing? You know, I mean, just shaking hands. We walked in the door, you know. But I thought, you know, but evidently he was sensitive about that, okay? And so, I've had to watch those things. So be careful how you deal with people, because everybody's not on the same level or on the same, don't have the same outlook that you do. So we have to understand. So we hurt people at times. And so what did I do with him? I went and apologized to him. I mean, it's one of them things. I didn't think I really owed him an apology. I mean, I was just kidding, but I went and I said, man, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. He said, oh, man, he wouldn't even say anything. He just kind of did his hand like that and walked on, you know. He kept coming to church, you know, for a while, but I never really understood. But my part was to do what? Is to go and say, man, I apologize for what I did. Whatever I did, I'm apologizing for you. That's all you can do some of the times. And now how they take it is not up to me. It's up to them, okay? But I did what I felt like I needed to do. And that's what I'm saying here. So when I've hurt someone, this is what we have to understand. See, the root of my joy problem could be guilt over people I've hurt before. You see, the people that I've known I've hurt before and I hadn't been willing, or I wasn't willing, my pride stopped me from going and asking for forgiveness and asking and giving them and apologizing to them. And so that might be why I feel unforgiven. Because why? Because I'm not willing to forgive other people, so I hold myself at the same standard, and I'm not being forgiven, so I feel unforgiven so much of the time. And what that is, that brings out bitterness. If you have a bitter spirit, if you have an angry spirit about you, what that does, it shows that you probably don't feel forgiven. And a lot of that is you're not willing to forgive other people. When you hurt other people, you'll say, well, they just have to get over it. That's just the way I am. That's my personality. Well, it's going to hurt you, okay? So how do you do that? What do you need to do? Well, first of all, you need to make a list. You need to sit down and think about the people that you've hurt in life. If you're bitter, if you're angry, if you're struggling with this, you need to sit down with, you know, God, who am I angry at? Well, what you need to do is realize that this, is that God's not playing hide and seek with you. He'll lay them out for you, okay? You need to realize, you know, that when you feel bad about something, when you have conviction, the devil will hide it for you. You just feel bad about anything. You never really could nail it down. But when you're under conviction in God, you have that bitter that conviction of God, God will begin to name those people. And this is what you'll begin to say, because I've done it. Well, man, that wasn't nothing. Just like with that guy, I thought, man, that ain't nothing, man. I mean, big deal. I mean, what's the big deal about it? But again, I mean, I was convicted because I knew it hurt him. And so I felt like that to try to have my relationship in good fellowship with him, I needed to say something to him, and I did, okay? And it's hard to do because our pride wants to stop us, and so we need to think about it. In Matthew 5, in verses 23 through 24, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you. Here's a hard verse, isn't it? You know, because all of us can think up of somebody that probably has something against us, okay? And then it says what? But he's giving you the severity of it. He says, leave your gift in front of the altar and first go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Because why? Because you need to get things right with other people. What Jesus is telling us here is relationships do what? It affects your worship. It affects your fellowship with God to the point where he's saying what? If you're in church and you remember someone has something against you and God's convicting you that, then you not only not showed up to church, you all went and knocked on that door and said, hey, man, I want you to know, I want to ask you to forgive me for what I did to you, you know. And you say, well, man, I'd be so, you know, it'd be uncomfortable. Sure it would, yes. But God's doing what? He's calling you to do it. Or again, it might just be one of these other things. You might not be able to do it with that person face to face, but it might be through a phone call. It might be through a letter or whatever. But you need to ask forgiveness for those. And you need to do what? You need to ask for mercy from that situation. So it should bother us when we have things in our lives, because why? It shows our morals, it shows our values, it shows who we are. And so if you can hurt people and it doesn't bother you, then let me tell you what, I doubt that you're even saved. Because the Holy Spirit, listen, when I hurt someone, even unintentionally, it bothers me. I mean, I lose sleep over it. It's something I pray about. And I want to get to that person and say, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. I didn't mean it. I apologize for what I did, okay? Sometimes, I mean, especially when you're a pastor, some people all of a sudden, they start walking in on Sunday mornings and won't shake your hand, won't say anything to you. And all of a sudden, it's like, man, what did I do? Well, it's hard to go and ask for somebody, well, man, I don't know what I did to you. Is everything all right with me? I'll do it in a kidding way. We all right. You know, we cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, I did my part, okay? You know, because a lot of times, like I said, I don't know what I've done. I might have said something in a sermon or whatever, you know, made somebody mad. I don't know. But sometimes that happens. So we just need to, you know, you can sense that. So, hey, we all right? Okay. Yeah, okay. And go on, okay? You haven't got to go into a long dialogue about it. The second thing is, how would I want others to treat me? How would I want it done for me, okay? Well, here's a golden rule in Luke 6:31. We know this. It says what? It says, do not do to others as you would have them do to you. So if someone hurts you, well, you know, would you want them to show you mercy? Sure. If you hurt someone, sure you would. It's a two-way street, like we said. And so what do? Is we want people to, we want people to treat us. And so we need to be forgiving towards people. If I hurt you, I want to go and ask for apology, because why? If you hurt me, I would expect the same thing. And sometimes you give it, sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. Okay. Now, how do you do that? Here's something I wanted to lay this down, because this is something that's good. How to do it? A lot of people, they'll come to me after a sermon like this, say, brother, you know, I've had something go on with a family member. I've had something go on with a, you know, something's going on. You know, my brother or my mother, I don't talk to them anymore. I don't have a relationship with them anymore. You know, I really feel bad about it. It makes things awkward at the holidays. I mean, we walk in, we don't look at each other. You know, everybody's got that goes on sometimes, you know. And so how do you get right with some folks like that? Like I said, we went through that process, face-to-face counseling, the ghost letter and the empty chair, all those kind of things. But if you can, you need to try to get face-to-face with this person. And how do you do that? Well, here's something that I suggest as a counselor when I talk to people. The first thing is you need to pick the right. Now, I don't think this is in your bulletin. I can't remember. You need to pick the right time. You need to pick the right time. I tell you, me and Mona don't talk about anything in the mornings, okay? I'm not a morning person. She's not a morning person, okay? We don't hardly, we just grunt. We don't even talk. I'm one of these, I walk around in the dark most of the time. I don't turn the light on. I mean, where's Mike at? I don't hardly turn my light on. I don't even turn my light on in the office, you know? Everybody walks in, we'll turn the light on, you know? It's just one of them kind of guys. I just kind of walk around the dark. I'm kind of like a cat. So, but you got to pick the right time. And do it for what's best for them. Say, hey, when would be a good time for us to meet, you know? I mean, you know, you haven't got to lay out everything you're going to do. Say, I feel like we need to talk. When would be a good time for us to meet? And let them try to set the place. Make some suggestions, you know, things like that. But let it be on their terms, okay? Go with the right attitude. And what's the right attitude? A humble spirit, you know, a humble spirit. This is the worst thing you can do. You can go in and apologize to someone and say, but. Leave your butt at home. You know, I just want to say that I'm sorry about this situation. And then you get into it, you know, but, and then you begin to bring out their part of it. Why you said what you did or why you did what you did. Well, what did you do? You just wasted everything. Go ahead and say, I just want you to know that I'm sorry about the argument that we had. Even though they might have started, I just want you to know, I'm sorry. But, you know, what I've learned, it takes two to argue, okay? So I'm sorry about the argument we had, okay? Regardless of whether there's part or not, you just go on. So go with a sense of humility. Go with a sense of, and then go with a sense of no expectations. If you go in thinking, well, I'm going to go in and I'm going to go with my hat in my hand and I'm going to suck up my pride and do this, and they better get right. You know, well, you can leave that at home too, because it might not happen. Because they might not have been thinking about it like you have, okay? They might not have processed the situation, so all this has been thrown on them. And so they're going into this situation, especially if it's been a real heated or maybe been over a period of time, they're going in with some guards up, okay? What's the deal here? I mean, what are they going to try to do? They're going to try to hurt me some more? So they're going in with guards up. So don't have any expectations for them. You're doing this for yourself, okay? And then the next thing is this, and so have the right attitude. Is it good for both of us? Is this meeting going to be good for both of us, okay? The next thing is the right place. Have the right time, the right attitude, the right place. Let it be somewhere private. It shouldn't be where people walking in. It shouldn't be, if it's a restaurant, you should try to get it at the back and things like that. Let it be a situation where it's private. And then do it for the right reason. And what it is, the right reason is going to be a healing process. It's not only healing for you, but it's also healing for them. And that's where you leave your butt at home. That you don't say, well, you hurt me, but and it, you know, I know I acted this way, but if you hadn't said what, if you hadn't done, don't do that. So it's a healing process. And then pay up your debts. If you've got a situation, it is terribly terrible if you owe people money or something and you won't pay your debt. And that's what's, you know, you've borrowed money from them and you've dodged them and you've ducked and dodged and all those kind of things, you know. It just brings a bad situation. You know, you need to be earnest in what you're doing. I don't care if it's $10 a week. You need to pay your debts. Amen? It's unchristian not to borrow something from somebody, not ever give it back, not ever pay it back, okay? You need to understand it. So it might be something you might not, it might have been $50, and you might have forgot about it. This person never has, and then you found out about it. You need to go back and say, man, I want to apologize for not paying it. When I talk to someone, when I borrow something off of somebody, I said, listen, if you hadn't got it back in a couple of days, call me. I said, you know, because I might have forgot it. I might have, Jeff brought some honey here the other day and give it to me, and he said, and he told me what I was going to pay. And I said, well, now, listen, I hadn't got the money. I don't never have a billfold on me, so I don't ever have any money on me hardly. I said, but now, if I forget it, you remind me. Don't think you're insulting me because I just forget it. So finally, I just brought him some $20. That here, just take it. That's for next time too, okay? And so, because it bothers me to owe anybody, but a lot of times I just don't think anything about it. It's kind of one of those things. Just ooh, it's gone, and I don't think anything about it. And so, but if you owe someone, you ought to pay your debts. You know, there's not, it's not godly. It's not a Christian way to not pay what people that you owe. And a lot of times you have to go to people. Mona and I've had to do this and medical bills. When we were homeschooling and we didn't have a lot of money and boys would be sick, we'd have to, you know, go in, we'd pay, you know, $20 a month or something like that till we got our hospital bills paid for. But that's one thing I want to do. I want to make sure we paid something that those people knew that they were going to get their money back in a timely way that we could, okay? And so we have to understand it. And the third thing is it comes down to ever have your joy in relationship, to ever have your joy in your relationship with God, you've got to let it go. You've got to let it go. In Romans 12 and verse 18, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, you need to realize it's not always possible because some people have a grudge against you. I run into people that just don't like preachers, okay? I mean, I just don't like preachers. At the time, I didn't like preachers, okay? I mean, I thought all this is just after your money. That's all this after, you know, they go up there and they only work 2 days a week and they expect a full-time pay. I mean, who likes anybody like that? I mean, you know. And so I just didn't like preachers. So I met a preacher. I was always suspicious of them. You know, I was kind of, you know, it's like, okay, you know, it's kind of, you know. And there's people, I'm just being honest with you. There's people when they, I don't go around advertising I'm a pastor because a lot of people won't ever give you a second word. And it's really uncomfortable. You know, it's uncomfortable. And so, but a lot of people don't. So he's saying here, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you. When a person finds out that I'm a preacher and I try to, and I can see that they begin to distance themselves, what I try to do, and I don't want to go too far because I'm not ashamed to be a pastor. Amen. Praise God that God called me to preach. I get to preach. I don't have to. I think it's the highest calling you can have. I'd have to step down to be the president. And who'd want to be him anyway? You know what I mean? And so, but I don't apologize for that. But I want them to do. I want them to see something. Is I'm flesh and bone just like you are. Amen? You know, I tell my story. This is my story that many of you heard a lot of times. But this is what really brought the seriousness of what I do really in it. I'll never forget this. It was right after I went into ministry and started preaching at Harvest. And so I had this young couple come over to our house and knocked on the door. Some of you have heard me say this before, but I'll never forget it. A couple of things. The first time is when I first got some mail that had Reverend Nathan Osmond on it. I'm thinking, man, I got the wrong address, okay? And that's me, okay? Well, this had a couple come over to my house and knocked on the door. We had invited them over. And anyway, the little girl walked in. She started just looking around the house, and everything, you know. And I said, and I had some deer heads up and some ducks on the wall. So I thought, I says, what are you looking at, hun? You know, and I thought it was a good come in for me to tell a hunting story, you know. Maybe I'll kill that, you know. Anyway, she says, well, I've never been in a preacher's house before, you know. And I got to thinking, I thought, well, man, she thinks this is, I mean, these people have really, they've probably thought about that. They're actually going to a preacher's house, you know. And to me, it's like, I'm not anybody special, you know. But then I got to thinking, God said, yes, you are too. You're mine. And I've called you out, you know, and you do mean something. You do mean something to other people, and you need to recognize that. And so you need to, you know, you need to be above board with people and transparent with people. Because why? Because why? This is, I mean, to other people, it is something special. Just like at one time it was to you, it's something special to them. And so we need to do what? We have to understand that our calling in life and who we are and how we treat people determines how they see us. And how we can interact with them and how we can influence people. You've heard me say this before, and it's just something I try to make myself understand too. Are you living for an image? Or are you living to try to make a difference in other people's lives? If all you're trying to do is put on a part in Coney show to make people think more of you, then listen, you'll never influence people very much. But your life shouldn't be about your image. It should be to influence people. And if you're ever going to make an influence in the world, then you have to have a forgiving spirit towards people. You have to be forgiving towards people, and you have to accept forgiveness from other people. You have to let some people go, because some people are going to hurt you in this world, and we have to let them go. And so that's what it's saying there, as much as it depends on you. When you get right with other people, then it gets us right with God, and it restores our joy. And then we move on, and we don't let the devil keep bringing it back up and bringing up our past of what we used to do. We just have to say, get behind me, Satan. Yeah, I messed up. Yeah, they messed up, but get behind me. That's past me. So in closing, what do? Where do I need work in relationships? Where do I need work in relationships? Let me tell you what, God will bring somebody to your mind right now. God, if you're not thinking about lunch and you're not thinking about hurting and getting out of here, okay? And let me tell you what, God will bring somebody to your mind, because more than likely you've got somebody that you've hurt and you've got somebody that's hurt you. And through this message, God's brought somebody's mind up to you. And you're saying, well, I can never do that. I'm never going to talk to them. Well, let me tell you what, you're just siding with the devil. And so why are you losing your joys? Because you're doing what? You're saying, I'm not going to get right. I'm not going to do it. Well, it wasn't that big of a deal. Well, then why do you keep thinking about it? Okay? Why does it keep being brought back up to you? Okay? Might not have been that big a deal to you, okay? But it might be a big deal to that person. So you need to deal with it. So where do I need work in my relationship? The lesson to learn today is what? Forgiving and being forgiven frees me. It frees me. It brings me back into that joy that God tells us we can have, okay? And the application is where do I need to start? And it's not where, it's who. It's who do you need to start with, you know? Is it a mate? Is it your husband or, you know, or wife? Or is it a parent? Is it a child, you know, you're out of fellowship with and something like that? You've got something going on else? Listen, as a pastor, I deal in a lot of situations where I see a lot of broken relationships. I deal a lot of, and a lot of times I see it with children and their parents. Again, not only guard my words with my wife, I try to guard my words with my kids. It's because I know that I can really hurt my kids with my words, and you can too. And I don't want to ever get to the point where I'm in the family where I'm saying, well, I'm not talking to them anymore. And I know that there's maybe some families here that you're going through that right now, that you've got some children, especially when they get older. And all of a sudden, they've made some bad choices in life. And, man, you've tried to talk to them, and they don't want to hear you. And now you have that broken relationship with them. Let me tell you what. After they get past being children, then now they're adults, and you need to treat them like an adult. You know, you're not supposed to be Mr. Fix-It all the time. That's what Mona tries to call me and my boys. You know, they talk to me. And Mona's a sympathetic, caring, compassionate type. I'm the, let me fix it for you. Let me tell you what you need to do. Just get you a piece of paper and pencil. And I'm going to tell you what to do here now, son, okay? I'm a preacher. I counsel people. I know, okay? And so it's like, and my boys, their saying is hey, Dad, what Adam does is, Adam will say, Dad, take off the preacher hat for a while, okay? You know, that's his saying, take off the preacher's hat for a while. And because I get to kind of, you know, because I don't get to talk to him. You know how I've got 20-year-old kids, well, boys, they're not kids anymore. I got 20-year-old men, and so they don't want to hear it from me anymore, okay? Dad doesn't know everything anymore, so that's how it is. So, but again, I'm 55. I've lived through some experiences that they're going with, and so I want to do what? I want to fix it for them, okay? But what we need to realize is I have a good relationship with people that listen. They're not looking for us to fix everything for them. They're just looking for us to care about them, amen? So all I need to do sometimes is say, I just love you and I care about you and I hate that you're going through that situation. And if I can be of any help, you let me know. You know, and it's easy for Mona to do that. Then Mona calls me and she'll tell me, she says, you need to call them and tell them this, you know. And so because I'm that's the personality that I have where she's just, oh, I'm sorry. And then she'll cry. Oh, you know, so-and-so, you know, they broke up their girlfriend and everything. Well, all right, good. I didn't like her anyway, you know. And so, well, they're hurting. Well, that don't hurt. Maybe we'll get into it once so quick, you know. That's me, that's her, okay? But our relationship is what? It's one we have to have compassion and caring, especially with our families. And so If God's dealing with you about something or someone today, let me tell you what. Is your joy, is having joy worth it? You know, or losing your joy worth it? I don't think so. I don't think so. Get it right. Get it right. Ever how you got to do it. If you need to come and talk to me, come and talk to me. Whatever it is, I'll help you any way I can. But you need to get it right. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, dear God. And God, we always, when we talk about relationships, it always hits home with all of us in some degree. For those of us, God, that's had bad relationships and had problems in our lives with other people, Lord, it makes us understand how prideful we can be and how hurtful it is, Lord, to God, to have someone at odds with us, somebody especially that we love. And so, God, if you've spoken to our hearts this morning about someone, then, God, give us a plan, and, God, give us the guts. Break that pride in us that helps us to go and ask forgiveness or be forgiving towards that person if they've hurt us, Lord. But, God, restore our joy. And the way that we restore our joy with you is restoring our joy with someone else. They might not accept us. They might not be willing to forgive us. God, the important part is we do the right thing. And so, God, you know what that is. And we now show us what that is and let us be willing to do it. And, God, we'll praise you for it. God, we love you and we praise you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and amen. Amen. Let me tell you what again. This message that I talked today, spoke on today is it everything in you that says don't do that, that is the flesh. Everything in you that says do this, that's the Holy Spirit of God. So the question is, who are you going to listen to? Okay. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to need some help in being able to do this. And let me tell you what, God offers help through that. He offers the Holy Spirit. And you might do it with tears in your eyes, but your desire to be in fellowship with God means more than that holding that pride and holding that back in life. You know? So maybe today's the day of your salvation, or maybe some of you just need to come to the altar and say, God, you know that name. You know who those people are that have hurt me. You know who I've hurt. And so, God, help me get right. Or maybe you want Mike or myself to pray with you or for you about something. But if you have a need in your life today, this is an invitation. This invitation is for you. Let's all stand. Right?